From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 15th day of August, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, Secretary Schaefer says Congress is asking his agency to manage parts of the farm bill in a manner differently than laid out by the legislation. And a group of U.S. senators wants the inspector general to investigate the commodities markets. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. It all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Friday afternoon in Chicago. Like this, the nearby September wheat futures at 8.24 1/4, down 40 and a quarter. December futures at 8.49 1/4, down 40 and 1/4. And the March contract at $8.74, down 40 cents today. Kansas wheat settled the September at 8.63 1/4, down 34 and 3/4. September corn futures 5.29 3/4, 28 cents lower. December at 5.49 1/2, down 27 and 3/4. And the March contract at 5.68 1/2, down 28 cents. May contract at 5.80 1/2, down 27 and 3/4. September futures in the bean pit, $12.11 1/2. The final trade, 53 3/4 lower. November at $12.19, down 55 cents. January at $12.36 3/4, down 55 and 1/4. And the March futures, $12.52 1/2, down 55 and a half cents for the day. September bean meal futures on the afternoon at $3.32.80, down $15.40. September bean oil at $50.04, down $2.08 for the day. August live cattle futures, $101.67 1/2, $1.67 1/2 lower. October futures, $105.85, down $2 and a nickel. August feeder cattle at $113.90, down 27 and a half cents. And the September's at $114.40, down $1.05. October lean hog futures at $74.55, 52 and a half lower. And December futures settled Friday at $74.85, down $1.32 and a half for the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. September crude oil futures are now trading at $113.75 a barrel, down $1.26. The October futures at $114 are down $1.03. September ethanol futures at $2.13 6/10, 11 3/10 lower. Natural gas trading at $8.06 2/10, down 7 4/10 for the day. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.85. is 6 1/10 of a cent lower. September heating oil futures at $3.10 7/10, up 8/10 for the day, and the September propane futures at $1.54 are a penny higher. August gold futures at $7.86, down $22, or rather, yeah, that's correct, down $22.20 on the day, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,640. Is 24.92 lower on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar is trading at 77.17. That's just about 0.45 higher for the day. The CRB index at 382.42 is down 7.03 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own Mike Sola, he says this afternoon, skies in the northern and central sections will be mostly sunny. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy, a chance of a few widely scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs will range from 74 in the northern parts of Indiana to 84 in the far south. Tonight, says Mike, in Indiana and southern Illinois, partly cloudy early, then clearing with some patchy fog developing. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows will range from 50 in eastern Indiana to 60 in southwestern parts of Illinois, with mid-60s near Lake Michigan. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a beautiful weekend. Highs will range from 76 in northern Indiana to 85 in the far southern parts of the two-state region.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to look at our Friday afternoon futures markets and analysis. And along the line with us this afternoon is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, have you had several good ag panels out over the past week?
We have. You guys, as usual, have done a terrific job of getting the word out and been just fantastic as far as asking questions and drumming up interest by the people out in the audience. We really appreciate all you do for us.
You've been keeping Dave Dickey awfully busy. I've been at home. I think Dave's on his way to... Are you in Lafayette tomorrow?
Yes, that's exactly right. We're going to be in West Lafayette tomorrow morning, and then we'll have another one in Kokomo Monday, and we're going to be doing a couple in Illinois that are during the morning and afternoon that won't be Will Radio panels, but they'll just be kind of quick trips in and out of certain towns there.
All right. So tomorrow morning, what time things kick off? That's over. Where are you at? Are you on
University
Purdue's campus?
Inn. Yeah, University Inn off 52. We're off campus by a little bit, right off the 52 highway, US 52 highway. Starts registration around 9:30 Eastern time, and we'll have plenty of treats there. So get there and get coffee and donut and talk a little bit, and we'll start up at 10 sharp.
You and Chuck and a special guest?
Yes, Tom Fritz from EFG, and then we'll also have Vince Bailey from Farm Credit here in Lafayette, who has got a fantastic presentation I just got a couple days ago, and really a good presentation on the farming credit market. So real excited to have him join up with us, too. He's one of our sponsors.
No, that should be a good one. I'm sure Dave's looking forward to it, and I'll look forward to his report back when I see him on Monday. Maybe we better talk about some of the questions producers have been asking you, in particular, at these functions. I bet, like me, they want to know why you were so low and how the USDA managed to get such a large corn crop on it.
See, I thought you were going to forget that today, Todd. I almost had Chuck do this afternoon, but I thought, no, I can't do that. Well, I think the bottom line for me is I just can't buy the idea in 2008, given our planting and our slow progress and the lack of nitrogen that has gotten into the plants, that we can have both high harvested acres and high yield. And so what I'm going to do in September for our analysis is I'll bring the harvested acres up to 79 million and say the USDA is City Hall, don't fight City Hall. But I'm also going to start bringing yield down month after month after month to the point where eventually we'll probably shake out around 147, 148 national yield, because I think there is a significant problem being built up in the yield here, especially if we stay dry the next 2 weeks. There's a lot of corn being tasseled right now, and I just feel like USDA just got way too ahead of themselves. And they gave us increased acres in beans, which made sense, but it did not really come at the expense of corn, and it really left you with the idea of how can you have more harvested acres than before the flooding compared to, you know, what we saw in July, and yet still keep the national yield at 171 out in Iowa with all the problems they've had. And I've gotten enough information from clients and agronomists throughout Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa that we feel pretty confident it's going to be really, really hard to break 150, let alone 155. So we're going to be stubborn here, Todd. We're going to tell the farmers in our meetings, if the market goes down, it's because of the outside fundamentals and the macro fundamentals. It's not because of the crop size, so we're going to store it on wide basis, on a big carrying charge, and we'll buy puts if we have to.
So you're going to tell them that it's because the U.S. dollar is getting stronger and crude oil is getting weaker?
You know, it goes back to this. The dollar certainly has something to do with it, but I actually think the dollar is kind of a follower to the metals and the energies. It seems like the dollar wants to retrace and kind of go back down after its big surge earlier this week, but the metals and energies won't let it. It's kind of like I was talking to the EFG guys today. We had a couple clients up there at the Board of Trade, so I was talking to them a little bit extra. And I said to them, are you worried about how many more funds are out there ready to liquidate everything? Because we got word that a big hedge fund liquidated everything last night in their silver contracts, and that's why silver was down 10-11% during the overnight trade, down another 10-11% today. Every other commodity out there wasn't down much more than 4-5%. And the feedback was, absolutely, that's why we just won't buy it, because we don't know how many more funds are out there that are ready to go ahead and redeem money back to their clients because they took such a hit back in July. And I think it goes back to at the end of last week, the trade was extremely cautious. After the report, they became cautiously optimistic. Now, after today, they're back to being cautious, even though we did, you know, eke out some pretty nice gains on the week for these corn and note beans.
So let me think about the numbers you gave me on the corn just a bit earlier. So are you then going to, if you're using harvested acres from USDA, will you be in the middle of the pack range at a more of 11.7, 11.9?
Yeah, we're gonna come in right around 11.6. Yep, you got it.
Instead of the 11.2, and USDA, of course, was at a 12.3, right, well, almost a 12.3 crop.
Yeah, we're going to use probably around 11.6 total production. We're going to probably keep with the 1.5 old crop carryover, and then we'll probably start working our demand. We've already worked our demand down to about 12.2, 12.3, so we're well under USDA on demand just so that we're extra safe in case we do see some more erosion of the economic fundamentals.
It's going to be fun kind of next week. I talked to Chip Flory earlier in the week. Pro Farmer, of course, will be out on their John Deere corn crop and soybean crop tour next week. And it'll be fun to watch those numbers come in and see what they're finding in the fields. I don't know what you've heard, but it appears that there's all kinds of things out there. You know, one day you'll hear that a bean crop is really good and down the field it's really bad and corn ears are tipped off all over the place. Well, we'll have some interesting things to talk about, I would think.
Yeah, I hope it provides some better information from the agronomy side, and it kind of, you know, sets the record straight, whether it's a good or bad or worsening or improving crop. But I think, generally speaking, what this market has been going back and forth, kind of like playing ping pong with, is saying, oh, supply is getting tighter than demand, and so therefore we're going to put more risk premium in it, whether it's because of weather, whether it's because of USDA data, whatever it may be. And then if the outside markets get nervous and people start talking about bad global economy, start talking about funds leaving the market, all of a sudden the trade psychology shifts back to, oh, demand's getting hit harder, and we don't have enough demand to keep up with supply. And so at some point here in the next 60 or 90 days, that's going to have to come to an end. Maybe we'll have to wait till the combines roll. It may be like 2003, maybe like 1993, where we just have to wait to see what we get off the hoppers.
Are they trading, do you think, the old crop or the new crop corn at this point?
I really think they're trading old crop because they're all three big commodities, Todd, are going up and down together. You know, the whole commodity complex is going up and down together, and that tells me they're still worried about global demand and they're still worried about these credit markets and financial markets. And I told Dave today, maybe I'm looking through this market of rose-colored glasses, but we did eke out a 31-cent better week in corn and a 39-cent better week in beans, even after today's bloodbath. But I guess when I see the stock markets healed up and doing fairly well, even amidst all this bad commodity trade, makes me feel like maybe the financials, maybe the banks and the equities have seen the worst of it, at least as far as trader psychology, and eventually that'll bleed back over into commodities and say, oh, the world is okay again, demand's intact, let's not worry, we've been through the worst of it here, let's go ahead and buy back in. That's kind of what we're trying to look at here the next couple weeks.
Okay, well, the thing I don't want to hear about, Mike, is for you going to church and praying for an early frost to make your numbers right, buddy.
It's already happening. The candles have been lit. Hey, take care, Todd.
You too. Have a good weekend. That's Mike Zuzolo. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report on Friday afternoons to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. And we always have a good time with Mike when he joins us on those afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says Congress wants the department to administer the average crop revenue election program different than specified by the Farm Bill. Acre is set to begin in the 2009 planting season. At issue is what year the program starts its two-year rolling average for per bushel price models on crops. Congress is calling for use of the 2007 and 2008 averages, But to implement the program for 2009, USDA would have to use an estimated 2008 crop year price. USDA says the two-year average should be 2006 and 2007, but crop prices are likely to be lower for that two-year period than 2007 and 2008. A group of U.S. senators yesterday requested an inspector general investigation into an interim interagency report on commodity markets. The senators are alleging that the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which led the task force, knowingly included, quote, seriously flawed data, and intentionally released the report ahead of a vote on an anti-speculation bill in the Senate. The task force is set to release its final report in mid-September. CFTC declined to comment on the Senate request. Add Southern Illinois Congressman John Shimkus to those lawmakers frustrated that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will not allow an up or down vote on oil drilling legislation. Shimkus says many Democrats would vote in favor of an earlier decision by President George Bush to lift a ban on outer continental shelf drilling. Pelosi is suggesting the House could consider what she calls a comprehensive energy bill in September. Shimkus says he's ready to debate the issue now.
60% of the cost in agriculture today has directly to do with the high cost of energy, whether it be the diesel that you run in the tractor, whether it be making fertilizer, any of those things. It is devastating. The cost of production has gone up, and that's why we're seeing the cost of food at the store, everything else go up. It's all directed back to energy.
Additional drilling of oil has the support of a number of farm groups, including the American Farm Bureau Federation. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you of two things. First, as always, visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can listen to this ag programming and other ag programming anytime you'd like as an MP3 file. You can sign up as well for our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. You can unsubscribe to that newsletter if you'd really like to. It's in exactly the same place, or, well, just darn close to it. It's all there at willag.org. The other thing is that next Thursday is Agronomy Day here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'll be dispatching the wagons out into the fields of the South Farms, where you can ask questions of the researchers and scientists that have been doing work for you all year long. They get lots of good ideas from you when you come out to Agronomy Day and ask them questions. It kicks off at 7 a.m. next Thursday on the South Farms, just to the east of the Assembly Hall off St. Mary's Road. Now up next, the wine industry in Illinois is beginning to mature. As you'll hear, it's becoming more than simple agrotourism. Bruce Morgenstern is easy with a smile, and why not? Life's good for him in southern Illinois, where he's a co-owner of the Pheasant Hollow Winery. He truly loves to spend time with his customers, even here on the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield, hours north of his hometown of Whittington in Franklin County. He says the Illinois wine industry is as much about agritourism as it is about producing great wines.
I think that if it were not for the tourism portion of it, that we as wineries would not be getting the support probably that we're getting. So the tourism end of it is very important, but we are an industry that are really we're having some national awards come into the state now for some wines that are being made, and we're starting to get a little bit of national recognition. So we're growing as wineries, not just as a tourism type industry. We're becoming real, I guess.
Real and winning awards. Morgenstern and his winemaker, Denny Franklin, took best in show at the Illinois State Fair this year with a fruit wine called Red and Blue.
Council, best of show. Will you please congratulate the Pheasant Hollow Winery?
Franklin and the Pheasant Hollow Winery website says from the very beginning their intent was to concentrate on making the best fruit wines possible. Pheasant Hollow has been winning awards with their wine since 2002, but it doesn't mean they don't need a little help from the likes of the University of Illinois.
We like to think that we've grown past help, but that's when you start thinking that, that's a mistake. Even being 9 years, 10 years into it, we still require help from the state enologist. Our growers who grow for us still require help from the state viticulturist. And most of all, the new people coming into the industry just have to have that guidance to keep them headed in the right direction and growing our industry. The industry now is bringing in over $250 million into the economy in the state of Illinois.
Proof that grapes can be good business, even in the Prairie State. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois, is on the line with us. Bruce is the general manager of the co-op's 10 East Central and Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Been a bit since we've talked to you. How are things holding up in the cash grain business?
Really pretty slow here over the last week. Volatile, choppy markets. As we follow, it looks like the outside market's out here, but things have made a step back on some of the flat prices. The farmer seems to be close enough to harvest now. He's going to wait and see what happens and what's actually out there.
And when you say step back on the flat prices, do you mean that things are tightening?
Flat prices are a little lower than what we've seen for contract highs. And the producer in general has a pretty good chunk of corn and soybeans sold for new crops, so there's no pressing need now to get additional sales on before harvest.
Does that mean that basis has been tightening up?
It does on corn. We've seen a 6-cent improvement in the last week on our nearby basis, a 2-cent improvement on new crop corn. The beans have just been steady out here, really no change for the week. And doesn't seem like a whole lot of bean interest right now.
Did farmers have much to say about the 12-3 and just under 3 billion bushel bean crop, corn crop and bean crop that USDA announced earlier in the week?
Things look good, but they're skeptical that it's out there. The flip side is they want to make sure that I have got plenty of space for this fall to put away the crop they're not going to grow.
Well, that's a good sign, the corn crop's out there.
Yeah.
They want the space, isn't it? Well, okay. So do you have the space?
Find some wood to knock on. I hope so.
All right.
And, you know, we're always depending on logistics out here, but hopefully the planning is paying off.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at $4.96 on nearby corn and $4.99 for new crop. Beans, $12.07 and $11.57.
Bruce, we'll talk with you in a week.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company's 10 East Central and Central Illinois locations. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We'll be back in just 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Police in Champaign say they've captured a man who's been wanted since he escaped from a Colorado prison in 1997. Champaign police say they arrested Aaron Smith yesterday after receiving an anonymous tip. Police say they took him into custody without incident. A news release from the police department says Smith was serving a 6-year sentence for assault when he escaped from a prison in Colorado. The 38-year-old is accused of assaulting a prison guard while escaping. Two people with deep roots in the local banking industry say they're confident Midwest banks will ride out the current rocky mortgage lending atmosphere. But while Busey Bank CEO Van Dukeman is seeing signs of an upturn in real estate in one of its hardest-hit markets, University of Illinois finance lecturer Kevin Waspy says there are no solid signs yet of recovery.
Dugman says about a quarter of Busey's business is in South Florida, which has seen some of the steepest declines in home prices and a surge of foreclosures. But Dugman says the bank has its arms around the problem and has the rest of its exposure in more stable areas. Waspy also says Midwest banks aren't seeing the same trouble as banks elsewhere. Abortion opponents are pushing for Indiana counties to require doctors who perform the procedure to have admitting privileges at local hospitals. Vandenberg County commissioners in Evansville approved an ordinance last week, and Allen County, the home of Fort Wayne, is considering a similar measure. Backers say such measures protect patient safety, but abortion providers say they restrict women's access to the procedure. A Minnesota-based lawyer has posted online the addresses and phone numbers of several priests named in sexual abuse lawsuits that the Archdiocese of Chicago settled for more than $12 million. Attorney Jeff Anderson represented some of the victims. He says he wants to alert people that accused individuals live in their communities. And pleasant weather has helped draw large crowds to this year's Indiana State Fair and has put the fair on pace for a near-record attendance. Mild temperatures and low humidity boosted the fair's attendance through yesterday to over 646,000, a 25% jump from the first 9 days of last year's fair. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a Friday afternoon. Usually we talk with somebody from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center and the Illinois State Water Survey. Steve Hilberg is not available this afternoon, so we won't have that discussion with him. But we do have Mike Sola's forecast for the two-state region. He says in the northern and central sections, it'll be mostly sunny today. This is for Illinois and Indiana. And in the south, mostly cloudy, with a chance of a few widely scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs this afternoon will range from 74 in the northern parts of Indiana to 84. In the far south, Mike says tonight in Indiana and southern Illinois, partly cloudy skies early, then clearing. Some patchy fog developing elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows will range from 50 in eastern Indiana to 60 in southwestern Illinois, with mid-60s near Lake Michigan. And this evening's temps and weather will set up for just an absolutely beautiful weekend. Tomorrow, Mike says, skies will be partly to mostly sunny across the two-state region. Highs will range from 76 in northern Indiana to 85 in the far southern parts of Illinois. I heard his discussion with Jay Pierce this morning, who's the station manager at our flagship station, WILL in Urbana, talking about next week's chances for rainfall. And Mike didn't at that time seem to believe that there would be many chances for rainfall next week, and that if we didn't get much in the next few days, we'd probably be asking the question, when's the next rainfall going to come, as we get to about Wednesday of next week. That brings me to Thursday, which is August the 21st, and Agronomy Day here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If you haven't ever been to Agronomy Day, please come out on that day. Things kick off at 7 a.m. in the morning. I'll be dispatching the wagons into the South Farms and to the research fields, where you'll hear lectures and about 20-minute discussions of research that's been happening on the South Farms and in other places around campus from the scientists. And more importantly, it's your opportunity to ask questions and give the researchers and scientists some feedback about what you think they ought to be looking at. They always appreciate your discussions with them. It happens during Agronomy Day. Kicks off at 7 a.m. next Thursday evening right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. The South Farms are located on St. Mary's Road, which is south of the Assembly Hall, and then the farms are to the east of the Assembly Hall. It's actually fairly easy to get to. And we'll be there from 7 a.m. till noon, sending the wagons into the field, and then that'll close down about 2 o'clock. During the noon hour, you can buy a lunch. Everything else is actually free. Also, during that noon hour, you'll be able to hear some discussions about bioenergy from the folks up at the Argonne National Laboratories and from Gail Buchanan, who is an undersecretary at the United States Department of Agriculture. One other note, we'll have AgriTalk there to do their program live from 10 to 11 a.m. on Thursday morning next week, the 21st of August. It's Agronomy Day here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a very, very good afternoon.